a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Philippi. That's a city. The name of the city was Philippi. And there was a church there, so he wrote this letter. And we've been kind of looking at it, going through it piece by piece. We started last year, I think it was. This is the last section today, in fact. Next week I'll probably do a one-off, and then Hamish and I, we're going to go through the book of Acts. We're going to start looking at the book of Acts, looking at how the early church grew and functioned and faced challenges and ministered and shared the gospel. So I'm going to read from chapter 4 of Philippians and verse 10. Listen to God's word. I rejoice greatly in the Lord at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, for I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. Brothers who are with me, send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Father, we want to pray that you would help us now as we turn to your word. Give us an attitude in our hearts which is willing to accept your word. And if we're here today and maybe we don't even believe the Bible or not certain about it or even whether God exists, we just ask you, Lord God, that you would give us something to hear, something to hang on to. And pray, Lord God, that you would just challenge our preconceptions and our prejudices and open our hearts to something new in Christ Jesus. For we pray in his name. Amen. It's cool to give stuff, isn't it? I struck Nico went to a birthday yesterday with a boy from another culture. I won't necessarily name the culture, but we went to the warehouse and bought a couple of little things. You know what it's like when you're going with kids and it's like, yes, that was 60% off. Choice, you know, good that. I noticed he came back. He came back with like more stuff, I think, than he went with. And he came back with this cool wooden model stuff. And I'm like, man, that's pretty awesome. So he was you know, we tried to be generous, but he received a lot of generosity as well. He came back really blessed, and he thinks, you know, he'll go to that birthday party again anytime. Let alone all the food and other stuff they did. I was reading about a guy, his name is, I forget his first name, I think his name is Stephen Collins. He's in the States, and you can Google and find out, don't do it now. But his brother, Aaron Collins, passed away about a year ago. And when his family got together and read his will, he knew he was going to die. And in his will, he had, amongst many things, he had said, what I want my family to do is to go out for dinner, and when you go to a pizza restaurant or something like that, and when you finish your meal, and this is, of course, in the habit of in America, is when you, the waiters and the waitresses, you give them a tip. It's, in fact, it's kind of expected. That's how they get their wages, because they don't get paid very much. He said, when you go out, I want you to leave a large tip of about $500 for the waiter or the waitress. And so his family went and did that. And they've been doing that, and people have cottoned on. And actually, what's been happening now is people have been sending in money to this family, and they've set up a fund. And now they go out and they specifically go to different restaurants, and they have a meal, and they give a tip. And you can actually, they've set up a page, and like as we tend to do these days, they video it so you can actually watch them doing it. These people are just amazed and overwhelmed, and when they receive this amazing gift, because a lot of them are just struggling away, some of them are students and things like that on this minimum wage. And it just makes you realize how being generous, can be such a wonderful thing, such a wonderful blessing. We'll use words like a buzz, you know, how it gives you such a buzz, and how it gives other people such enjoyment and joy. So in this passage here, what we're going to talk about today and what the Apostle Paul is talking about is actually a ministry through generosity, a ministry through generosity. What he's doing here is, in this letter, he's writing to these Christians, this church in Philippi, and he's thanking them for their generosity. So he describes how they have remembered him. So remember where Paul is right now. He's in jail, isn't he? We saw that last week. He's actually in prison in Rome, and these people have remembered him, and so he describes how their generosity has made him content, and in whatever circumstances he finds himself, and he says, you know, whether in abundance or need, you know, whether rich or poor, whether hungry or full, he's content, and he says, you know, he says, but your generosity to me is much more than just giving and helping me out in jail. What he really presses home to these people, and I think that you and I need to understand today, is that when we are generous, there is something far bigger and far greater happening. There is actual ministry happening when we are generous. Now, this word generous, what do we mean by the word generous or generosity? The word generous means that it means giving more than what is needed. Okay? To be generous is giving more than what is needed. Okay? So you ask somebody, would you like a slice of cake? And they say, yeah, and they give you a big slice of cake, and you say, well, that's very generous of you. That's a generous helping, okay? So that's what generosity is. Generosity is giving more than what is needed. Okay? It's not just enough, but it's actually more than what is needed. What he's talking about here specifically is the giving and providing of money. And he's commending and thanking these people in this church for their generosity in giving and supplying money for his needs. Now, that may be interested, you know, you might be interested to hear about that, by the way, even if you don't consider yourself a Christian, because you're probably aware that churches deal in money, okay? We deal in money by the fact that we give money to the church, and the church uses that money to do its ministry. And of course, sometimes that goes all pear-shaped, doesn't it? And you hear about, you know, the wrong end of it, or you hear about Christians being pressured and badgered and hectored, you know, to give money. And there's this big hype, and then you see, you know, mega churches with mega pastors swanning around in mega cars or mega flash suits and things like that. And so we're kind of aware of that, eh? And you might be thinking, you know, hey, Christians, here's a pastor standing up. He's talking about generosity. I bet he's just going to end up by telling me I need to give more money to the church. I don't think I am, but hear me out. So He's thanking these Christians for their generosity. And he it's interesting because he uses a couple of phrases in here. He talks about generosity, but he also talks about contentment. And I believe that these two things are really closely connected together. And I believe that we can be generous when we are content. But I want us to focus on the generosity in this passage. And I want to look at the results of a generous life for Christ, for you and I. And in this passage here, the Apostle Paul gives sort of four direct results that flow out of generosity. And I want us just to look at those briefly together. The first thing he says about generosity, when we are generous to a ministry, to a church, or to something that we believe is doing God's work, he says that there is a sense in which we partner with that. Okay, so that's the first point. The first point is this, is that our generosity is actually a partnership. He says in verses 14 and 15, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Okay, so he's in jail. They know that. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of my acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, no one in the not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you. The word shared there, you can also translate it to say partnered. And so what he's saying to them is that when they became concerned about him, verse 10, and when they decided to share in his trouble, verse 14, they actually partnered with Paul in his ministry. So they saw the ministry that he was doing. They saw that he was in jail. They saw that here is a man who is suffering for the cause of Christ because he's preaching the gospel. How can we help him? And so they were generous towards him. And so they supported him prayerfully and financially. And they did that generously, not just the bare minimum. He says, when you actually did that, when you were doing that, you became partners with me. And so here are the Christians, they were actually partnered with the great Apostle Paul in his ministry. So, you know, today we kind of go read the Bible and you read about Paul and we go, oh, Paul went here and Paul went there and Paul said this and did that and all that kind of thing. But what the Apostle Paul himself wants us to remember is that none of that is possible without the people who supported him. That it was, for example, this little church in Philippi that were actually partnering with Paul. They were sharing in the gospel with him. They were supporting him. And so when we support those working in ministry, whether it's somebody, you know, who's in a faraway country doing, like Mark's sister, you know, Catherine, and she's in South Sudan and she's working in this hospital, you know, really primitive conditions and people just queuing up to get treatment and stuff like that. Or whether it's, you know, someone like a CAP kind of ministry, or whether it's just a simple, you know, garden variety pastor like myself. When we do that, that's kind of what the Bible is saying is actually, you know, you're not just giving a few bucks here and there, you're actually joining in that ministry. You're actually participating in that ministry. And you're not actually saying, oh, you know, here's 10 bucks or here's 20 bucks or whatever, go off and do something for Jesus. You're actually not doing that. He's saying, you're actually saying, what can we do? Let's go and do this. Let's go and serve God together when you give. And so we move from when we give and when we are generous, we move from being just spectators into players, okay? So Nico's soccer was cancelled yesterday, but I think the league and the rugby was on. And but you know it's like standing on the sideline and when the rain is driving in and it's like, oh man, you know, when's this going to be over? I want to go home and have a hot cup of coffee or whatever. But the kids are running around having fun. But Paul says, you know, don't think about it like that. You're not standing on the sideline. You're there. You're part of the game, which you can't do, by the way, with your kids' rugby game. You're not allowed to do that. But you know, you're not just a spectator. You're a player, you're a partner. You're not actually trying to earn some brownie points with God. In God's sight, you're not doing that. You're actually involved in that ministry yourself, and you're a part of it. Which, by the way, there's another side to that too, isn't there? There's a kind of a flip side. which is that when we do give, when we want to give money to support something, we need to think about what it is that we actually are supporting. Is this a good thing? Is this a worthy thing? You know, and people, you know how people used to just sort of send you a thing through the mailbox, and notice now they actually come to your door, don't they? And they knock on your door, and it's like, whoa, you know, hey, we want, you know, you got to give money. And so they're asking you to support them, and so you go, well, actually, I don't really know much about you people. What do you do? What do you believe? And we ask that because when we give money, we support, we're partnering. The second thing, though, is that he wants them to understand is that when we're generous, there's the result of generosity is fruit. The result of generosity is fruit. So he says in verse 17, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. Another translation of that is to say, I'm looking for the fruit that results from that. And so when you and I, when we're generous to God's work, there's stuff that happens, isn't there? There's fruit, there's things happen, people's lives are changed. When we give to somebody doing mission work overseas, they're going to go and share the gospel with others. When we give to somebody who's doing kids' work or youth work here in Auckland, they're going to go and share their lives, share the gospel with youth or children. And lives are going to be changed. And so what Paul says is when people do that, there is actually fruit. There is something that goes on. The people, there is a result. And he says that fruit increases to your credit. And so when we give to the work of ministry, whether it's a large amount or small amounts, fruit is produced. And so, you know, if you want to, if it's important for us to think about that. You think, okay, here's a ministry that is looking for my support. If I give, what is going to happen? Now, I recently heard about a pastor who said, he said to all of his supporters, he said, I want you all to give me $300 each because I have to get myself a new jet to fly around in, okay, a new jet, like my jet, like your jet, okay? You all go to work in a jet, don't you, right? You all got a private jet if you want to go on holiday? No? Come on, people. So he said, I want you all to give me $300, I'm trusting God, he said, sounded very spiritual. He said, I want you to give me $300 each so I can buy myself a new jet. And it was, apparently it was all fitted out so we could carry his golf clubs and things like that. Now, if you were giving Creflo a dollar, I won't say his name, but if you were giving him money for his jet, what is that going to do? Like, he's got a nice jet, and he can carry his golf clubs, but, you know, what is the result of that? And so we have to ask ourselves that question, don't we? When we give, if we're going to be generous to people doing ministry, what is the fruit that comes out of that? Are lives being changed? Are people hearing the gospel? You know, is God's word being printed? Are people being evangelized and are people being helped, and are the poor being ministered to, and the needy and the vulnerable and all that kind of thing? You see, Paul says when you are generous, spiritual transformation occurs. People's lives are changed, and you can see that. And the Bible calls that fruit. And he says that increases to your credit. You know, Jesus said, what does he say to his disciples? Abide in me and I in you. And he says, if you abide in me, what? You will produce fruit. Jesus wants us to produce fruit. Another thing is this. A third point is that when we are generous, our generosity to the kingdom, it's like a fragrant offering. It's quite surprising language that he uses here. Being generous in God's kingdom is more than just bearing fruit, but in fact is like an offering or a sacrifice acceptable to God. He says that in verse 18. He says, I have received full support, and even more, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, They are a fragrant offering and acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Isn't that amazing language? Have you ever kind of thought about that? You know, what did they used to do in the Old Testament, and actually some in some religions they still do today? People, hey Hez, could you just go and help my mum and Mary? people used to, they go and make offerings, don't they? Okay, so you go into the temple, or you know there's a shrine, and you maybe burn some incense, you know, those long sticks, and you set them on fire and they have that really strong smell. So you set those, and when you're doing that, that's like an offering or a something to God, to the deity, isn't it? Or if you, you know, you maybe give some paper money, or you put some fruit or something like that, that's an offering. It's like seen as like a sacrifice. Or sometimes even people would sacrifice an animal and burn that animal on an altar. And what Paul says is, when we are generous, when we give to ministry, he's saying, actually, you know, that generosity is to God like a sacrifice, like an offering, something that is pleasing, something that's acceptable to him. You know, that's why I read that account where Jesus was observing people giving in the temple, and he said, you know, that poor widow. Now, probably most of us have forgotten what copper coins looked like. But we, you know, we used to have 1 cent pieces and 2 cent pieces. Remember 1 cent pieces and 2 cent pieces? And it's kind of like, you know, 1 cent lollies. Remember 1 cent lollies? Man, you kids don't know what you're missing out on. Now, you could go to the shop and say, I'll have 5 of those, 2 of those, 1 of those. No, wait a minute, I've changed my mind. I'll have 1 of those. You used to do that, the old shopkeepers, eh? And it was like 1 cent, and they were little copper coins, and they were like nothing, you know. I was in America once, and people have big jars of pennies, copper coins, like they're worth nothing. So they'd go to the shop, they'd get them, and they just drop them, handfuls of them, in these jars. And but Jesus says, you know, when this widow, who's a very poor person, she's got limited means, she can't work, she's got nobody to look after her, she comes and she offers these 2 coins. He says, that is a true act of worship. That is more than those who came and gave out of the abundance, because she is giving everything she has. She is giving generously. And so, you know, for you and I, we shouldn't just say, oh, that's just a few bucks, or, you know, I had that money spare, or I was just my tax return, or whatever, I didn't need it, you know, I hadn't budgeted on it. Jesus is saying, Paul says, don't think like that. He says, actually, when you give generously, it's a sacrifice. It's an offering to God. God sees that. He sees your heart. And he knows that you're giving that willingly. Final thing is this. Is that I believe that one of the results for us is contentment. Contentment that flows out of generosity. Contentment is a very strong theme that flows through this passage. We don't really have the time to try and explore it all, but you know, the Apostle Paul, he expresses it. He says, look, actually, I'm really content with what I've got. I'm happy with what God has provided for me. You know, he makes that statement, I can do all things through whom he strengthens me. That's actually an expression of contentment, by the way. But when, and he comes back to it, and he says, at the end of the day, he says, he can do all things through him who strengthens himself. And then he says, verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What is he saying? Is he saying, you know, 72-inch curved screen televisions for you guys, new iPhones, brand new shiny red cars, you know? Is that what he's saying? Is that what he's saying? God will meet all your needs? Is that what he's actually trying to say to them? He's not, is he? He's saying the result of that is contentment. Contentment for you. God will meet all your needs, because he says, God has met all my needs. And where is he? Remember? He was sunning himself on a beach, wasn't he? No, wait a minute. He was sitting in his mansion in Queenstown looking out over Lake Wakatipu as he wrote that? He wasn't, was he? He was in jail. He was in prison in Rome. And he says, God is meeting my needs. And he says, as we are generous, God blesses us with contentment. In fact, I think it's kind of like a circle thing. I think when we are content, we're able to be generous. And when we give generously, God gives us contentment. I think that's the blessing of generosity is contentment, but also our generosity flows out of our contentment. And so there is contentment now, you know. Paul has learned contentment, and out of that contentment, he is able to minister. The Philippians have contentment, and they are able to be generous. You know, it's one of these really surprising things I've learned over the years. You know, sometimes we think, generous people? Who are generous people? In our minds, we tend to think, you know, generous people, they must be rich people. That's not the case, is it? You and I know that. It doesn't have anything to do with how much we do or don't have. It's about how much we're contented with what we have and how much we're trusting God. I've seen that firsthand, and I've seen how God works that in the lives of people. But also, of course, he says, God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. The reminder is that if you're a Christian today, you are incredibly rich. You are incredibly rich. You say, Jeff, you haven't been to my house. You haven't seen, you know, you haven't seen my couch, you know. It was given to me by my auntie, or it's all ripped to pieces, or, you know, I found it on the side of the road, or, you know, you haven't seen my car, and you don't know all the repairs that I need to do on my car, and I don't have the money to do those repairs. And I know that that's hard. That's really tough. But if you're a Christian, you are rich. You are unbelievably rich. The Apostle Paul talked in another passage about the riches that he has given to us, which he says in Ephesians, he says he lavishes them on us in Christ Jesus. God's riches come to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God doesn't hold back. He doesn't say to you, oh yeah, you guys have sinned a few sins. I'll forgive you a few of your sins, but that's it, you know. No more cookies out of the cookie jar for you guys. No more sins forgiven for you guys. Just a few, and then it's all used up, you know. So make sure you don't do any more sins. He doesn't say that, does he? He says all of your sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus, and God's riches are lavished upon us. So if you're able to be generous, we need to remind ourselves, generosity is what? It's not just about giving a few bucks here and there. Generosity is ministry. Generosity produces fruit. Generosity produces contentment. It's an offering to God. And it brings praise and glory to God, ultimately so that people might come and worship him and glorify him. Now, if you've been listening to this and thinking, Jeff, this is all kind of strange, you know, I thought you would be talking about Jesus today. Well, I have been talking about Jesus. Because if you get to hear about Jesus, it's because of generosity, isn't it? If people around the world get to hear about Jesus, it's because of the generosity of the likes of you. It starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world. He came, he was the Son of God eternally with the Father, had everything, humbled himself, came to the earth, gave everything, gave himself. Why? Well, because he saw that you and I, we were lost. He saw that you and I were just buried in sin. He saw that you and I were going to hell without his help. And so Jesus Christ came, gave his life, laid down his life, died on the cross, and rose again. And so when we are generous so that other people can hear that message and come to know him as well. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you because of your amazing generosity to us. we will never really fully comprehend how generous you have been and how generous you continue to be. Lord, you have not only blessed us with peace and all of these things, but you have adopted us into your family. You have forgiven us all of our sins. You have guaranteed to each one of us an eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you for that, Lord God. Thank you and praise you for your kindness and your generosity to us. And we thank you for those who have been generous to us over the years. We thank you for those who have been generous with their time and with their money and with their love. We thank you for these things. And we acknowledge, Lord God, that to whom much is given, much is required. And that as we receive and are blessed, Lord, help us to be a blessing and give to others, that they too may come to know and love you and find peace through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, we thank you, and we pray that you would produce within us contentment, seeing that each day you give us food and clothing, health, strength, all of these things. We praise you and give you thanks that you supply all of our needs in Christ Jesus. For we ask in his name. Amen.